This is Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, exclusively on the Bun 2.0, KBUN-FM 104.5.
Welcome to Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, sponsored by DS Beverages. Paul Bunyan Country's distributor of Anheuser-Busch products, and by Bonded Lock and Key, your home for Liberty Safes. Well, checking in with one of our great guests and good friends of the show, Matt Brewer, today. And Matt, first of all, thanks for joining us once again. We love having you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, you you had quite an incident this fall that was potentially devastating, but you're doing okay. Tell us about that. I know you posted on it, and there's been some articles on it, but share with us what happened and what's going on.
Yeah, so it's crazy to think. It was already, like, almost 6 weeks ago, but back in October, tearing down all of our bear stations, pulling the cameras and cleaning up the sites and taking down the stands and everything. I had my son with me, and we were just about done for the day. It was the last day of youth deer season, and I sat with him in the morning, and then we went and cleaned up the stations, and the plan was we were going to go home, eat some lunch, and then go back out in the evening. And we were on the second to last station, and we were pulling the ladder stand, and my son Tate was holding the bottom, and I was up top, and I had just started to, I think I was like on the first step down, coming back down, and all of a sudden heard something weird, and felt kind of like a shift in the stand, and the stand ended up breaking. And we went back later and looked at it. It was all rusted out at the second juncture where the pieces connect together.
Okay.
And the metal had just like given out, and it just folded me out. And I reached for the tree, and there was nothing there. I couldn't reach it anymore, and fell straight back. And it was probably, I don't know, 20 feet or so, and landed flat on my back, and fractured two vertebrae in my back, and pinched nerves, and pretty much wrecked my left arm and left thumb. But yeah, I mean, lucky to be alive, and lucky to have full movement. And
yeah,
I mean, I like I said, I consider myself really lucky. It could have been a heck of a lot worse. So, and I'm happy my son was there with me, because my phone was in the truck, and he had to go retrieve that and call for help, and the ambulance and deputies showed up, and my wife, and everybody did a really good job getting me out of the woods and getting me to the ER and recovering nicely. Got a few long-lasting things that I think will never go away or I'll recur here and there, but doing pretty good.
How long, how long was the recovery, and what did you have to do?
So basically it's like 6 weeks of don't lift anything, don't pull on anything, don't bend or stretch or fall. So like 6 weeks of really doing nothing, which is not my favorite thing in the world.
I was going to say, for you, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it was really, really depressing and hard. I did have a really good support system. Like, I had a buddy who came up. He didn't want me to miss out on deer season, so he came out, and we just kind of drove around and looked for deer, and then tried to, you know, make short stalks on them or finding them in clearings and as they were crossing, and I'd shoot them, and he'd go get them, and so I was able to do a few things, and then, I've been kind of doing the cheater's way of hunting a little bit. I road hunted for grouse a couple times, and I have got out and walked a few trails now, and I rode snowmobile the other day, so I'm starting to progress a little bit, but I got out and did enough things to kind of satisfy the hunger a little bit, but it was still tough not being able to get out during my favorite time of year. I mean, I missed the best part of grouse season, and didn't get to deer hunt the way I wanted to, and didn't get to do any trapping, and it's been tough. So I'm looking forward to actually looking forward to ice fishing for the first time in a long time.
Okay. So lesson out of this was obviously make sure you check things carefully, huh?
Yeah. I mean, the more I've looked back on it, you know, and I've tried to turn it into a safety lesson, and there's really nothing I can say about it. You know, people, I had people say, oh, that's why you use a harness. Well, first of all, you don't have to be, you don't have to be condescending. I know what you're supposed to do, but you can't exactly wear a tree harness, when you're climbing down a ladder stand. It doesn't work that way. So we looked at a million different ways, and, unless I were like an arborist or something and knew how to use like a tree saddle or something, it was just kind of a fluke thing. I mean,
right.
I've put up and taken down literally thousands of deer stands, and I've never had one break on me. So for it to break was just an anomaly, and I was the joke at the end of it, I guess.
Well, wouldn't call it that, but I'm glad to know that you're doing better, and obviously, you know, it is probably a little frustrating to know that you got to have some things bugging you from here on out, but like you said, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Well, and I guess the one aspect again is you know, when you're out in the woods with people, it's always good to have that second person if you can, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Like, I've always done setups and takedowns with someone. I don't think anybody really feels all that comfortable with, you know, putting up deer stands, taking down deer stands. It's not like, yay, I get to do that today. I mean, so I've always had people with just because, you know, anything can happen, I guess. And luckily, nothing ever had, but when it did, I was lucky to have someone with, and then I repaid the favor by taking my son out. He didn't get a deer during youth season because of my fall, and took him out, and he shot his first buck during deer season on the last weekend. So that was really cool, and it was actually pretty emotional because it was the first time him and I had been out, been back out really hunting hardcore. Since I fell, so it was a pretty cool moment, and we were able to harvest like 5 deer during deer season for the group between my buddy, myself, one other buddy, and my son. My wife didn't get one this year because she's picky and goes after the big ones, but the rest of us meat hunters did well. So.
But I'm sure that you know you didn't get to participate in all of it, but I know you kept your ear to the ground and kept track of things. Overall, what did you hear about the various hunting seasons? We'll start with deer.
Yeah, deer, it was really pocketed. So I would speak to one group, and they'd be like, yeah, everybody filled out opening weekend. We shot some really nice bucks. You know, deer were everywhere, and the bucks were chasing really good. And then I'd talk to another group, and they'd be like, oh, the wolves. There's too many wolves around here. There's no deer. They weren't seeing anything, and then I talked to another group, and they're like, oh, you know, we've seen 3 does or something. And then I talked to another group, and they'd be like, oh, it was the best deer season we ever had. So it was really strange hearing the varying reports. You know, we didn't see a ton of deer, but we saw enough, you know, to make it definitely worthwhile. And like I said, we were able to harvest, and my wife, I bet she saw 50 deer throughout the season. I think she figured somewhere in like the 54 or 55 deer, and she just didn't get a shot or didn't take a shot at any. So it was pretty good, but you know, we'd talked to people a couple of miles away, and they really hadn't seen much, and it was really strange. But overall, I think it was a pretty good harvest this year. There's definitely no shortage of deer, and it's true there's no shortage of wolves, but I don't think the wolves are to blame for not seeing deer, because I have wolves howling like right behind my pasture at the same time that I have deer bedded in my pasture, so so they definitely cohabitate.
Okay. So you're thinking the deer population looks pretty good. Are you fine with the way the state is and the DNR have decided to manage deer in this area?
Yeah, definitely. I think the bonus tags this year was a really good idea, and it was really cool hearing some groups, you know, they kind of stuck to their guns. They're like, we're only shooting bucks, and that's great. If, you know, if they want to do that and they don't want to, you know, over harvest or anything like that, that's perfectly fine. And, you know, maybe on the last day or something, they'd take a doe, but it didn't seem like, I talked to a lot of people who were out and they shot their first deer and then hurried up and bought a bonus tag and got back out and wanted to get that second deer, you know, in big groups like that or anything. I don't think people abused the opportunity we had this year, so that was good.
More of The Great Outdoors with Kev Jackson next on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors.
Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors is sponsored by Bonded Lock and Key and DS Beverages. And don't forget, you can check us out online, kbunsportsradio.com. Click on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors. We're also on social media. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. You can also listen to the podcast wherever. You can also download the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. What have you heard about grouse season, ducks, geese, other flying animals?
Duck and goose season was really good. I was actually off to a fairly decent start, and I didn't get to participate in any of that after I fell. And, you know, October and November is definitely the best time to be out waterfowl hunting, and the guys who were out, buddies that I usually hunt with, did very, very well. And it was painful getting text messages from them. Hey, look what we did this morning. And I'm like, you guys suck. Yeah, waterfowl season looked really good for the diehards. Grouse, it was a decent year for us. Even, you know, we hit it kind of hard early season. Not as hard as usual, but we hunted quite a bit. And my son is so heavy into hunting this year that, or wanted to be, that I was able to get him out and he put some grouse down. And he took a few hunters, like buddies from school, out for their first time, and we were able to get a buddy his first grouse. And I mean, it was we'd see birds every time we went, basically, so that was good. And woodcock season was amazing, and that kind of ended around the time I fell, so I didn't miss out on much of that. And we certainly didn't miss out on any opportunities there. We went as much as we could, and I think my son shot like, I don't know, 15 birds or something this year, which is really good for a 12-year-old shooting woodcock. So yeah. A lot of opportunity, and we did pretty well there. So
the fall turkey season, you hear anything on that?
I didn't hear anything really. I saw a lot of birds, and I actually, I was in my back brace, and I walked out into the garage just trying to stretch, and there were like a dozen turkeys standing in my yard, so I was able to fill my fall turkey tag, which was it was like a really bright spot for me, because it was like, I think I had a doctor appointment that morning, and I asked if I could shoot a gun, and they said that as long as I was responsible with it and, you know, I wasn't trudging through stuff, they said, and, you know, not shooting too much, if you're just going to shoot a couple times, it's not a big deal. And it was that afternoon that I saw the birds, and I'm like, sweet, the doctor said I could shoot, so I'm shooting.
Oh, what's up?
But I didn't really hear from anybody else, but I saw a lot of birds during fall season, so.
Okay, yeah, it's
driving around and seeing them in the yard and stuff, so.
That's been a great addition to our neck of the woods, I think.
Yeah, me too. I hear a lot of complaints from people who you know, maybe don't, I'm not saying they're uneducated, but they don't really understand how animals work. But I hear a lot of locals dissing turkeys and saying that they're hurting the grouse population, but they're not. There's virtually zero crossover between the two. So yeah, I agree. The turkeys have been kind of a nice addition. They are getting a little overpopulated. I think we need a little shift in the regulations because of the high turkey population we have here. You know, like our neighboring state in Wisconsin, you can shoot like 7 turkeys.
Wow.
If you play your cards right and get surplus tags and stuff like that. So, and Minnesota's getting to be, especially like central and southern Minnesota, it's getting to be very similar where turkeys are really, really heavily populated in those areas. So,
okay. What's up next in the hunting world?
Well, for me, I don't think anything until spring. maybe do some coyote hunting and fox hunting during the next full moon or next couple of full moons. I always like to get out and do some predator calling, but other than that, I've kind of hung up the guns for the season. I've got a lot of writing I got to get caught up on, and fish house rental and guiding season starts here in a couple weeks, so that's going to get very, very busy. And Justin is doing a lot of the grunt work this year, helping me out because I still have limitations, and he's been out almost every day, it seems like, and he is doing very well. The fish are definitely biting, and he's jumping around lake to lake and checking everything out, and some lakes have 5 inches, some have, you know, north end of Bemidji, I'm guessing, only has a couple because it just froze not that long ago.
Right.
But the south end and Lake Irving, people are already out, so it varies a lot, and you got to be really careful, but if you know what you're doing, you can definitely get out around the area, and the fish are definitely biting. So,
how thick do you want it to be before you're out there?
Well, this year I want it to be at least 6 to 8 inches because I want to be able to drive my snowmobile because I ain't walking through the snow all the way across the lake.
Right.
but you know, normally I like 4 inches or so before I start going. I used to be one of those guys who was a diehard, and I'd go out, on two inches, 3 inches, and I wouldn't have any problem with that. And you know, you'd watch the ice sag as you fish throughout the day, and it's not that diehard anymore.
Okay. We get a lot less diehard as we get older. I've found that.
Yeah, definitely. The fish will wait.
And so what's Jason telling you about the bite out there?
That it is really good for crappies and bluegills. The fish are in their early ice spots. They're out in the basins. You know, so you're going to look for those deeper holes, and that's where you're going to find everything stacked up, kind of where they were left. If you were a fall fisherman, where you found them in the late fall is where you're going to find them here early ice. Okay. And walleye's on the breaks, and I've heard Red Lake is absolutely on fire. Some people aren't doing very well, but I think they're not moving around a lot, and others who are moving around trying to locate fish. Once they find a pot of fish, they're really hammering them. So those are kind of the three things I've been hearing are walleyes, like I said, on the breaks and shoreline breaks. Obviously, it's a little harder on the bigger waters to get out to some of the mid-lake structure yet because we don't know what the ice is like out there. But once I think we hit the deep freeze next week, people are going to start venturing out to those areas, and we'll see how the bite is. But the panfish are early ice panfish is one of the funnest things just because they're so predictable, so easy to bite all day long. It's a really good time to get kids out. And like I said, deep water, you know, 30 feet of water on a lot of the smaller lakes in the area. Those deeper water basins, you're going to find crappie suspended. So
You know, one of the things we've talked about over the years that North Country Guide Service does is those real remote ice fishing excursions, the small lakes that you basically either have to get a snowmobile or a four-wheeler or walk to get to. Those are kind of your specialty. That's just, to me, that seems like a great thing to try at least once.
Yeah, and that's actually, Justin came and picked up my sled this morning, and he's already sending me pictures here. So, but he picked up my sled, and he was going to a little backwoods lake today with his dad, and they were going to try it out, and the fish are going. I think they've already got 5 crappies, he said, on the ice, so they're off to a good start, and they said they found 8 inches of ice with about 4.5 to 5 inches of snow on top, so good riding conditions and good lake conditions, and the fish are biting, so that one is a home run this morning, and hopefully that bite maintains for a little while, because we got clients coming in starting in 2 weeks, and a lot of them are wanting to do these remote trips. The more they hear about them, and the more they think about it, it's something they want to try, so.
Are UIAs already booked up for the whole winter, or are there still spots available?
We do have some openings in the fish house rentals. We've got a few weekend spots open, not a lot. Things really booked up fast this year, but there's a couple openings. I know there's some in February, and I think I've got 1 or 2 openings in January yet. And lots of weekday stuff, middle of the week stuff, and then for private guided trips, we have tons of openings. Justin's going to be taking the bulk of that load, and I trust him so much with his ability to get people on fish now that that you're in more than good hands. So a lot of openings there, and that's, like you said, it's kind of one of those things you have to get out and experience. And yeah, tons of openings, weekends and weekdays. I think we've got a dozen of those trips booked, and there's like 4 months of winter, so there's a lot of openings left.
Okay. All right. I know when you're not doing any of the outdoor stuff, I know you're a big Star Wars fan. Have you seen The Mandalorian yet?
I have. And I'm wearing my Darth Vader slippers right now. My son watched it before I did, and my best friend watched it before I did, and then I sat down and binged it, and I honestly, I like it. You know, I have to like it because it's Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good context and a lot of good, you know, backstory telling and stuff, but I'm not a huge fan of the acting and not a huge fan of some of the CGI and stuff. I don't know.
Okay.
Something doesn't feel quite right to me as a diehard Star Wars fan with it. I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't know. It's good and it's entertaining, but it's not quite hitting a home run for me.
Well, I haven't seen it yet, and that's why I was asking to see if it was worth my time.
Well, it's definitely worth your time. It's Star Wars.
Well,
but I think when December 20th comes, you know, and we get to see the rise of Skywalker, it's going to be a whole different story.
Right.
Everyone's going to be looking back saying, oh, The Mandalorian was terrible. It hardly filled the gap for me. I think the movie is going to be very good. But it was really interesting, and I don't know if you knew this or not, but Jon Favreau, the comedian,
mm-hmm.
Or the famous comedy actor and writer and producer, he's the one who did a lot of the writing and producing of The Mandalorian. I thought that was really strange.
But, really? Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either. So, all right. Well, I guess I'll watch it. But
yeah, it's worth the watch.
So. Okay. So are you strictly a Star Wars guy? Are you a Star Trek guy too?
No, Star Trek.
Okay. So you're a purist.
I am.
You had to pick one.
I'm yes. People make Star Trek references to me, and I look at them with an evil eye.
Well, I mean, I don't know, you know, how old you are, but these first Star Wars films, the originals, 4, 5, and 6, I mean, they all came when I was like 8th grade into college. So I was right in my my years, so I'm a big Star Wars guy, absolutely.
Yeah, and I, you know, I was pretty young. I think I saw the third installment in the theater, but I have a brother who's 10 years older, so I grew up with, like, all the original action figures, and, you know, we were always watching them, and then when they came out on VHS, we had them, and I remember, like, staying home sick from school, and I have these memories of, like, laying in my mom's bed and her making me chicken noodle soup and me watching Star Wars.
Nice.
You know, when I was like 6 years old, 7 years old. So
that's not a bad way to spend a day.
No, like I want to do that now as an adult. Like that sounds fantastic.
Yeah. All right.
It was good then, and it'd probably be good now.
All right, so Matt, if we want to book a trip for this winter or already start working on next spring, what's the best way to get started with North Country Guide Service?
NorthCountryGuides.com, and that has links to all of our social media, and Facebook is always a good way to get a hold of us, or give us a call, shoot us an email. One of us will be able to help you out.
Well, Matt, we're glad you're doing better. We're glad you're able to get out there some and contribute to our show, certainly. You're a good friend of the show, and I'm just glad to hear you're doing okay.
Thank you, thank you.
This has been Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors. Hear it exclusively on KBUN-FM 104.5, Thursdays at 1240 and Saturday mornings at 8.